In the year 1825, a government handbill appeared in the streets of all southern Irish towns. And little did anyone know at the time that this was the beginning of one of the most successful emigrations ever conducted to the New World. And little did they realize also the profound effect this handbill would have on a land over 3,000 miles away, a land very few people had ever set eyes upon. And in the city of Cork, on the southeast coast of Ireland, the curious began to gather around the newly printed handbill. And one of the men, closest to the front of the crowd, began to read aloud.
Emigration to Canada. Memorandum of the terms on which the government has agreed to convey a limited number of settlers from Ireland to Upper Canada under the superintendence of Mr. Robinson and to locate them upon the lands in that province, and also the conditions upon which lands shall be granted. Such emigrants as the superintendent shall accept shall be conveyed from the place of embarkation in Ireland to their lands in Upper Canada, wholly at the public charge, and provisions shall be furnished them during their voyage and for one whole year after their location upon their respective lots. Such farming utensils are as absolutely necessary to a new settler shall also be found for each head of a family or a person receiving a grant. No person above the age of 45 years shall be conveyed to Upper Canada at the public expense unless under particular circumstances in the discretion of the superintendent, and no person above that age shall receive a grant of land upon his arrival in the colony. Every male above 18 years of age and not exceeding 45 years to whom a certificate shall be given by the superintendent that he has been accepted by him as an immigrant settler to receive lands in Upper Canada shall on his arrival receive a location ticket or order for 70 acres of land in such part of the province as the lieutenant governor or person administering the government shall assign.
The thousands upon thousands of applications that poured into Peter Robinson as a result of the posting of this handbill gives evidence to the conditions in Ireland of 1825.
Overpopulation was at the root of the difficulty in Ireland. Prices of farm produce sank disastrously after the Napoleonic Wars. Wheat prices fell from 120 shillings the quarter in 1814 to 50 shillings in 1823. Tenants were unable to pay their rents, and evictions followed when leases ran out. Consolidation by large landowners hastened evictions. Middlemen took large leases from landowners and sublet them at extravagant rents of £6 to £10 per acre. The cottar class, consisting of 3 million people, lived on farms of from 1 to 10 acres and raised little but potatoes. Their staple food was potatoes, herrings if they lived near the coast, and a little milk if they possessed a cow.
And you know, the potato crop of 1821 failed completely. Famine followed. Charitable institutions in the government spent some hundreds of thousands of pounds in relief. Great Britain, £350,000 from private contributions. Ireland, £150,000 from private contributions. And the government, £300,000. A good potato crop in 1822 ended the famine, though fever, which had developed among the ill-clothed and starving populace, continued to take its toll. The poverty of these people is unbelievable. Under such conditions, it was to nobody's surprise that over 50,000 applications were submitted.
Peter Robinson, who was to lead this great exodus from Ireland, was a man well suited to his task. Born in New Brunswick in 1785, he was the oldest son of Christopher Robinson. During the War of 1812, he fought loyally and bravely for the British, raising a rifle company and engaging the Americans at Sandwich.
Playing an active role in politics, along with his brother, Sir John Beverley Robinson, a member of Upper Canada's famous family compact, Peter Robinson served in the 7th Parliament of 1817 to 1820, and again in the 8th Parliament of 1821 to 1824. And during these years, he served as the representative for York and Simcoe counties, living for a time in Newmarket. Following his 2 terms in Upper Canada's Assembly, he became a member of both the Executive and the Legislative Council.
In the year 1823, Robinson was approached through his brother, who was then Attorney General for Upper Canada, to lead an emigration from poverty-stricken Ireland to Canada. Bringing over 182 families in that same year, Robinson opened and settled much of the Ottawa Valley. He seemed like the logical choice then when Undersecretary of Colonial Affairs for Britain, Wilmot Horton, was searching once again to alleviate the Irish problem in 1825.
And so, in May of that year, the settlers Robinson had chosen in his new capacity as superintendent were gathered at the docks in Cork, carrying what possessions they could and in a great state of excitement. 9 ships awaited them for the Atlantic voyage, and very quickly and efficiently they were divided and placed on board. Well, on board the ships, conditions were far from comfortable. Overcrowding caused its inevitable problems, and on many of the ships, fever spread, resulting in several deaths during the voyage.
The Otonabee River is navigable for 24 miles, although in many places it is very rapid, and at this season there was not water sufficient to float a boat of the ordinary size over some of the shoals. To remedy this difficulty, I had a boat constructed of such dimensions as I thought might best answer to ascend the rapids, and had her completed in 8 days. So much depended upon the success of the experiment that I felt great anxiety until the trial was made. And I cannot express the happiness I felt at finding that nothing more could fully have answered our purpose, and that this boat 60 feet in length, carrying an immense burden, could be more easily worked up the stream than one half the size, carrying comparatively nothing.
And so, with these words, Peter Robinson described the building of the boat that was to carry the Irish settlers up the Otonabee River to Peterborough. With a large load of baggage and close to 30 people on board, the boat managed to make the distance from Rice Lake to Scott's Plains, as Peterborough was still known in a day. In this manner, the entire complement of settlers were landed at Peterborough. Little is known about the fate of the boat Robinson had constructed. It is speculated that by the time it had completed its task of transporting the settlers up the Otonabee, the boat was in no shape for anything but the scrap heap. Perhaps it fed the fires of the settlers as they weathered their first Canadian winter. Perhaps it lay abandoned for years on the shore of the river. No one seems to know. Whatever its fate, Peter Robinson's boat has passed into the distant mists of time.
Now, 150 years later, Peter Robinson's boat is coming to life again, as you see it here on Little Lake. The designer and builder of the boat, Nick West, says the historical records are so vague and sketchy that we had very little to go by. All we know is that the boat was 60 feet long, 12 feet wide, 8 feet high, was flat-bottomed, and had 8 long oars on each side with 2 rudder oars at each end. Apart from that, we had no description of the boat whatsoever. However, the boat that is crossing Little Lake at this time is as close a replica of the original as possible.
Visitors to Homecoming 75 will have a chance to see Peter Robinson's boat 6 times through the summer as it reenacts the landing of the settlers. All crew members will be costumed in authentic pioneer clothes, and it is hoped that as many descendants of the original settlers as can be found will participate in the pageants. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Peterborough. Welcome to Homecoming 75.